Welcome to the Backup CD. Every week we talk about a random topic. Topics are as important as the U.S. economic tax policy and as trivial and fun as personal Marvel Cinematic Universe movie rankings. We're a group of students who have lots of different interests, and we wanted to share our conversations with you. You may not always be interested in what we're talking about, but hey, just like that backup CD you have in the back of your car in case your phone dies, we're something to listen to. Let's get started. All right, welcome to the third episode of the Backup CD. This week, we're discussing Fleetwood Mac. I'm your host, Clint Bisbee. We unfortunately do not have our one host, Carter Harrison. He was unable to make it today, but we have our other regular host, Dylan Passmore. Dylan, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yo, what's up? Dylan Passmore, love Capri Sun. And by Capri Sun, I mean Capri Sun.
And then we also have a special guest host this week, Allison Allred, music genius and extraordinaire, Utah State alumni, and Clearfield High School alumni, where both
That's
Allison
true.
And I went. So Allison,
That's
go ahead
true.
And introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Allison. I went to Utah State previously, not that long ago. I studied journalism. And I have a radio show called the Flower Power Music Hour, so I feel like maybe that's my only qualification to be on this show, but I do love Fleetwood Mac, so I'm excited.
What is your radio show for our listeners?
It's called the Flower Power Music
When is
Hour.
It?
Oh, it's Tuesday at 6.
Okay, everybody, tune in Tuesday at 6. It's a good
Tuesday
time.
Tuesday at
6. You can also listen to a playlist afterwards.
Yes, that's true. I post my playlist on my Instagram stories.
That's
so,
awesome.
Et cetera, et cetera.
So if you're a big fan of Fleetwood Mac, you'll appreciate Allison's plethora of music that she puts on the show. So like I said before, we're talking Fleetwood Mac today. If you don't know, you're living in the dark ages, but Fleetwood Mac is mainly a mid-70s, early 80s band. Should we dive in just to like the history of Fleetwood Mac?
Who is Fleetwood Mac?
Do you want to talk about where the name comes from?
Fleetwood Mac. What we got is we got Mick Fleetwood, and then Christine McVie.
What's his wife's name? What's the actual bass player's name?
John McVie.
Yeah.
John McVie. There's a lot of McVies in the band, and they're just like, you know, it'd be a cool idea for a band name. We took our last names, turned them into a band name. So Fleetwood. Other than Mac, because McVie is apparently too hard to say, so, or McVie, I don't know.
Well, I'm like, it's Fleetwood Mac, not Fleetwood Mick, McVie, but anyway.
Yeah.
So in the late 60s, you have this guy named Peter Green. He is a blues guitarist. He approaches Mick Fleetwood. They're both English, which is kind of wild, because you don't necessarily peg Fleetwood Mac as like an English band.
Well, they spell rumors.
Yes, they do. So he approaches him. They form this blues band. And if you listen to the first two albums, they are very blues heavy.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, it's so interesting considering that they're like a band from Great Britain, because their early stuff, which I love, by the way, like, is so bluesy. Just like so like, it's just great. Like, if you haven't listened to it, I would check it out. But it is like almost like a completely different band.
For sure.
Compared to Rumors era Fleetwood Mac.
Because it's crazy, though, because the bass player, John McVie and Mick Fleetwood, just stay the same. That's why they're able to keep the name. But, yeah, so it's, like, this totally different band. They keep performing. Eventually, they kind of shift to this more rock and roll phase. Eventually, Peter Green leaves Fleetwood Mac because of it was basically an acid overdose. Like, he went to this party. He was really addicted to LSD. Went to this party, and they're not exactly sure what happened. Either it was alcohol laced with LSD, or it was like a bad batch of LSD, but he was never really the same.
LSD will really mess you up.
You have experience, Dylan?
Oh, I have so much experience.
No. So Peter Green leaves. Mick Fleetwood holds some auditions, gets a different guitarist. I forget his name right now. They go on tour with him, and eventually he leaves. What happened there was one day he got up and just said, "Hey, I'm going to go get a magazine." They didn't see him again.
For sure.
What they found out was he joined basically this religious cult. And in the halfway through the tour, they had to replace him with Peter Green. Again, he came back for a little bit. Yeah.
That's so wild.
It is wild. So
I'm just trying to imagine how that interaction went down. Like, he's in the convenience store. He's looking, I don't know what magazines they have in, like, Brennan, but like T Illustrated or something like that. And this guy walks up to him in these robes and is like, you want to join a cult? And it's like, I'm not doing anything better. I'm just with this little band named Fleetwood Mac. Like, they don't really need me. So
they keep cycling through guitarists, other artists, keyboardists. But throughout this whole time, you have the bass player, John McVie, and Mick Fleetwood, and the drum player, Mick Fleetwood, staying with the band. And eventually, they get Christine McVie, John McVie's wife, to join. She comes in on vocals. And then they get, I guess, really their big breakthrough. And Allison, do you know the story about?
Their big breakthrough.
With Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
And where they came from and how they joined.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's a really interesting, like, story because, if my memory serves me correctly, Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, like, had their own,
duo
happening at one time. And I think, like, wasn't it that Fleetwood Mac was holding, like, auditions
or
something? Yeah, and so they were holding auditions to, like, try and recruit, like, new members of the band. And Fleetwood, and then Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks just, like, got in the right room at the right time and stuff. And, like...
So it's really interesting. Originally, Mick Fleetwood, if I remember the story correctly, he's like, I want Buckingham, but I don't necessarily want Stevie Nicks, which I think is just crazy considering, like, when you think of Fleetwood Mac, at least for me, I think of Stevie Nicks.
Sure.
But he's like, nah, man, not unless she's in the band too. And then...
they just had a thing going.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I think part of the thing is you guys talked about, like, the blues and stuff, and, like, Stevie Nicks does not have a blues voice.
No.
Like,
very ethereal as opposed to
deep
and more grounded. Like, with blues, I should say, you want that more deep and grounded, more not rough, but I don't know, it's hard to explain, but Stevie Nicks has that very ethereal, angelic is a little bit of a overstatement, but like,
I'll call it
angelic. You know what I mean? Like, it's more
very sweet
as opposed to that blues voice. So it's interesting that they've come now to this point where they have Stevie Nicks.
Oh no, Stevie Nicks' voice is very sweet, but it's also like got some grit to it.
It does, especially with her solo career later. You know, you hear that a lot more with like "Stop Dragging My Heart." Yeah.
Well, it's very reflective of like just pop rock. Like, it's more of a rock voice. This is an entirely different subject, but you'll have like. And I'm not saying that Stevie Nicks is like a screamo person, but you'll have people with screamo and they'll scream, but then they also have these very
like
angelic voices because I don't know witchcraft, they joined the cults or something like that.
Sure.
So
then you get Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks in the group. They release probably their two biggest albums. The first one is the 1975 version of Fleetwood Mac. That's the album title. But in 1968, the old Fleetwood Mac released an album called Fleetwood Mac, so it gets a little confusing. Then in 1977, they have Rumors. We'll come back to Rumors. Just want to kind of get through the rest of the history. During Rumors, there were some issues with the band we'll talk about. Eventually, they kind of went different ways. They still recorded together. They more had solo careers.
Did they go their own way?
They went their own way. And throughout the next 20 years, it was on again, off again with different band members. Fleetwood Mac kind of stuck together. There was different guitars who came on. I think Peter Green did even like a couple of not more songs, but like he was in the background a couple times. And as far as I know, Lindsey Buckingham is currently, we've kind of fast-forwarded over a big chunk of the band's life because we want to get to the main chunk of Rumors, but currently Lindsey Buckingham, I believe, is suing Fleetwood Mac for like...
Yeah, that's true.
Wild. And as you'll see, as we talk about it, Lindsey Buckingham and all the band members have this very strained relationship, which I argue is what made Rumors as beautiful as it was.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So should we talk about Rumors?
Let's talk about the greatest album of all time, because that's exactly what Rumors is.
Okay. Let's talk about the context in the band.
Rumors.
Well,
12 songs, two sides, front and back, six songs each. the best album of all time. Like, really, it's my favorite album.
Okay, so what's happening with the band right now?
Well, and, like, my favorite thing about it is, yeah, it's just, like, all of, like, the context behind the Rumors album is because everyone is, like, getting divorced and cheating on each other. And,
with
like,
each other.
With each other. Like, fostering rampant cocaine addictions. And, like, and it's just, like, absolutely insane, because like I think I heard a story too that like Stevie Nicks like knocked out Landslide or something in like knocked out Dreams and like wait that's not even on that album.
Yeah it is Dreams.
Yeah it is.
Dreams
okay
is,
I was
Dreams
like for a second
second
I was like wait what?
That's Dreams
okay
yeah.
good yeah knocked out Dreams in like 10 minutes
yeah.
and that song is like iconic and it's like just the power of all of the vibes in the room I feel like just and like in I don't know it's,
so from what I've heard is that she like is pissed at Lindsey Buckingham. Goes into another room with, like, a little keyboard, pounds out Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Just does it.
Does
their number one song of all time. It still speaks to you today. So, yeah. Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks are a couple. You have those two. Then you have Christine and John McVie,
mm-hmm.
who are a couple. John McVie's the bassist, Christine and Stevie Nicks are both vocalists, and Buckingham is a guitarist, then Mick Fleetwood is the drummer. All Mick Fleetwood and his wife were getting divorced
mm-hmm.
because his wife, one reason was that his wife had been cheating on him with another old band member. Christine McVie and John McVie are getting divorced, and Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham have broken up.
And Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood also have an affair at
yeah.
this time. So it's...
It's rampant
so
amounts
juicy.
Of sex and cocaine.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, dude. I feel like this band really, like, encapsulates that sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's go through the track list. First,
okay, can I just
yeah.
say, though,
yeah,
before
yeah, yeah.
we dive in, I love the track list. And I love the way that it is arranged. Like, from, like, song number one, it honestly all just flows together, like, so effortlessly. And I just feel like that... I needed to, like, say that.
Well, yeah,
because
that's important.
It just feels so intentional. And I
well, and
know.
Part of this is, like, today...
And I'm sure it is.
I'm not gonna go into, like, a Jeremy ad about, like, why the world sucks. But one reason why the world sucks today is that, like, if you look at our albums, artists aren't focused as much on making albums. They
mm-hmm.
make singles. And a lot of that has to do with that you see the rise of digital music, where the single is more easy to access, whereas before on a vinyl record, and even to an extent, a CD, it's hard to single out certain songs. Like, the album is a piece of art itself.
Yeah.
And we've kind of neglected that today. And I agree that Rumors is just this whole piece of art, but each individual piece can be taken as its own single. And that's
mm-hmm.
why it's so successful, is that it's a great album because it's a great album,
yeah.
but it's also a great album because it has so many great singles.
Yeah. So I listen to a lot of, like, punk rock and stuff like this, and I was going to say pretty much the same thing. Like, you have a lot of artists today that just make good songs, but not necessarily good albums. And I don't know, like, Blink-182, for example, has a lot of hit singles. And I would argue is one of those bands that, like, makes a lot of good albums, too. Like, it's well put together. But, no, I would say I definitely agree with that. Like, it's just well put together from beginning to end. So.
Okay. So, first song is I Don't Want to Know.
Secondhand News.
Secondhand News? Oh, maybe I need to look
at... Yeah, no, and then it begins with...
Oh, let me look.
I don't want to know the reason why I love you. Secondhand News, written by Lindsey Buckingham, and lead vocals.
And he was the lead vocalist.
Yeah, he was the lead vocalist.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the lyrics and what it's talking about, all within the context of cocaine and sex.
I wish we could just play the song right now, because...
Or at least a bit, but there's
I love that song because I feel like it just really, like, gets the album off on, like, a running start. Like, you literally hear, like, the Mick Fleetwood's drums just, like,
yeah.
in the background, you know? And it's, like, that's great, and I love that song. And that song always, like, made me feel really cool when I was walking around campus and, like, heading to and fro from my journalism classes because I was like, haha, secondhand news, that's funny because I'm a journalist. And, like, I just...
I do the same
right,
thing,
exactly.
So, yeah.
And... Yeah, it's, and I think that, like, that's just, like, Lindsey Buckingham's way of just saying, like, oh, I'm just secondhand news now. Like, I'm not a big deal. Like, it starts out with him, like, basically just, like, calling Stevie Nicks out, just being like, yo.
Yeah. Okay, so actually the song starts out with, I know there's nothing to say, someone has taken my place.
Yeah,
and I just,
exactly.
Like, well, and you take a look at those lyrics, and after, like, it's a really catchy, upbeat song. Like,
yeah.
You, if you just listen to it and you're not processing the lyrics, you're like, oh, this is a happy song about, I don't know, a journalist that's going to and from spreading secondhand news. But it's,
sure.
Yeah, it's straight up, like, you've broken my heart.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've done this.
Yeah, like, I can't believe you've, like, put me on, like, the back burner, even though I'm, like, I've been the one who's been with you, like, every step of the way, and like, I can just totally see, like, how one of those, like, discussions would have gone, except it probably would have just been much more angry and, like,
with a lot of cocaine.
Yeah. A lot of cocaine.
A lot of just anger.
Another big thing about this to know is that there was, in the future, a lot of domestic abuse between Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, and so it's interesting to hear, at least that's what I read, not, like, repetitive, but there was incidents of violence. And so it's interesting to always look at that. Basically, this is your fault album. This is a breakup album. But they're staying together and writing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, who's really in the wrong? And it's like, well, y'all were doing copious amounts of cocaine, so it's probably all your fault. Like, and you're sleeping with each other, and yeah.
That's the thing, is, like, I think, like, this whole album just, like, kind of captures, like, the essence of the time, in the sense that it's very, like, all of these band members are just behaving in ways that are very, like, indulgent, you know? It's very, like, hedonistic in the way that, like,
yeah.
They are just kind of doing, like, whatever they want. Like, caution to the wind. Like, this person's mine. I want them. I don't want them. Like, I'm going to treat this person this way. But also, we still have to be in a band because, like, this is our higher calling or, like, whatever.
And
like,
it's, like, our livelihood.
Yeah, our
like.
Livelihood. And, like, we have thousands of fans that, like, rely on us to put out more music, and then they just, like, decided to put aside, like, all of their personal differences when they went into the studio, and, like, what they came out with was just, like, wild. Like, for example, I, like, don't even know how they did this, because it's, like, if I see so much as, like, an ex of mine from, like, several years ago liked another girl's picture, I'm like, oh my god, how dare they? Like, that is, like the audacity. But, like, to be in, like, a studio, I can just imagine the tension where, like, the lead singer is, like, singing just angrily with all this, like, gusto about the...
About you!
About you! Who's, like, next to you, like, and you know it's about you, like... I love that.
So, like, it's interesting because, you know, Stevie Nicks talked about this about a year or two ago when they were talking about getting back together and recording another album, and people were asking her, you know, although it's been heard that you're not really participating much, and she's like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess we could record another album with, like, us arguing and hating each other the whole time. I was like, dang, like, that's what this band was.
Yeah.
But it's so beautiful.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, it's like, I kind of, I guess this just shows how egotistical I am, but I was like, it'd be pretty cool if a girl wrote a song about me.
And then it becomes
the
number one single.
And then it becomes the number one single.
Okay, but here's the other
thing. Then you break up, and then the songs that start, that follow, that are about you are probably, like, not that great. Like, I mean, I don't know. They might be like, I miss you, or, like, whatever. But I doubt it. Like
Taylor Swift and Adele.
But here's the other thing. Not only do they write these and produce them and bare their soul, then they have to do tours for, like, the next decades. Like, honestly, obviously it was on again, off again. Sometimes they weren't always there with each other. But, like, they kept reopening these wounds again and again and again and again.
I wonder if just over time they're just
like null. Like,
yeah,
null.
Like,
there's
dull
to it.
I feel nothing. Part of that.
Yeah,
was,
it's
yeah.
Seriously, like, honestly, I want to, like, ask them the question, why did you put yourselves through this? Like, I know that, like, success and fame and fortune and whatever are huge, like, driving forces, but also I'm just like, bro, like, the emotional, like, toll that that would take would just be exhausting. And I think that that has been proven to be true in, like, their later years, you know, after their, like, big, like, peak of success. It's like they just went through, you know, cycles of, like, various members being in and out and, you know, like, yes, we're together, yes, we're a band, no, we're not a band, we're not producing music, like, just all the back and forth, and I don't know.
I think it's interesting. You used a term earlier, Allison, about, like, having a higher calling in music. And I don't know. Like, I'm not a very musical person. I enjoy listening to music, though. And I think it's just how some people need to process things. Like, I think there's just no other way to process it. So maybe for the band members, this was basically just therapy. Like, just getting it all out there. Like, because sometimes you have to just feel angry and you have to feel sad. You have to feel all these ugly emotions. And I think music is a healthier way to begin confronting those emotions. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all musicians themselves. And so I'm sure when they got down to it, they kind of were like, well, this is how I express myself. So who am I to, like, tell you not to express yourself this way? You know? And so I think they were all able to understand that, like, this is just how we vent and get out our frustrations, and outside of the studio, you know, we can have our, like, things going on, but when we're in here, we need to just, like, be a band.
Do it.
And they were really able to do that, like, probably better than, like, anyone, honestly.
Like, it's kind of crazy that, like, we think of 70s rock and roll bands, and even to bands today, as in some sense being immature, in the sense that, like, that's not a real, I'm doing air quotes in the studio here, not a real job. But the amount of professionalism that they faced it with in doing this is quite, like, this is all just kind of summed up. It's quite profound, like, how focused and professional they were in doing their calling, their job, their, what they had chosen to do.
Doing their art, yeah.
Yeah. I think the standards for professionalism were a little different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just imagine us coming into the studio and then just doing a line of cocaine. It's like, let's make a podcast.
And that's, like, reality for people sometimes, you know? Like, I'm sure there are podcasts out there that are like, all right, boys, like, let's get started. I don't know.
Tell the story that you read about them and the photo shoot.
Oh, yeah. No, so there's this famous photo. You've probably seen it before. But basically, it's after Rumors comes out, and they're on this bed. Let me see if I can't find it. I'll show you, Allison, the photo real quick.
I'm excited.
Sorry, I'm scrolling through on my laptop, so not to fill everything with a blank space.
It's okay, editing.
Yeah, editing. Right. You're
editing.
Gonna edit this.
No, I think our listeners will enjoy just listening to Dylan just scrolling endlessly.
Yes.
So, the story is that
so they went to do this photo shoot for, like, Rolling Stones or anything. It's actually a pretty famous photo. Like, I'd be surprised if you haven't seen it before. But it's them on this bed, and they're like, I mean, it basically represents everything that's going on in the band's relationship. So here it is. You have
OMG.
Yeah,
that's
they're
wild.
they're all just laying together on this bed. You can look it up.
Know us.
Yeah, it's
show
it's the
seats that makes
it. Yeah. But it's
that
the,
is so funny.
Yeah, so it's the March 1977 Rolling Stone edition, and basically the photographer shows up. And I don't remember who it was, but they just take out this bag of cocaine, and they're just like, because that's what you did in photo shoots back then. You just bring out cocaine, and they're
Fleetwood Mac brings it out, right?
No, the photographer brings it out, and she, like, offers it to Fleetwood Mac. They offer it to Fleetwood Mac, and they said it's like, at first they were hesitant, but then it was gone in like 30 seconds.
Oh.
And then just like, and then later throughout the photo shoot, I found out that they had all been to rehab recently. And she just, like,
gave them coke.
Oh no. Well, and I really like this quote here. I'm just reading off the website from Rolling Stone. It says, this is a quote from Mick Fleetwood, and he said, "The intention was a spoof on the rumors about our private lives, and yet, symbolically, the picture showed us exactly as we were, all married to each other." Like, and I kind of love that a little bit. Like, I think that that is a little ahead of its time, like, in its thinking. Like, not even just, like, as a band, but just kind of, like, relationship-wise. Like, I feel like now we're kind of, like, in getting into this phase where people are, like, doing, like, non-monogamy and whatnot. And so I think, like, for them to make that kind of a statement, like, yeah, we're all basically, like, married to each other back then was kind of, like...
Forward.
A big deal. And
agree with it, disagree with it. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
All right.
So then the second track. So if the first track.
We just did the first track.
Oh, wow.
If the first track, Secondhand News, is Lindsey Buckingham saying, "This is why we're done, Stevie Nicks." The second track, Dreams, which becomes a number one hit, it's the greatest single on the album, it's the greatest single they'll ever produce, is Stevie Nicks saying, "This is why we're done, Lindsey."
Kind of a response.
The chorus says it all. Thunder only happens when it's raining. Players only love you when they're playing. Say women, they will come and they will go. When the rain washes you clean, you'll know, you'll know.
10 minutes. Like, oh my goodness. I love that she wrote that just like so quickly. And I think that just...
It expresses what she's saying.
Just
is like,
speaks to...
You don't know what you've lost in me.
Yeah.
And like, as a person who has always had a crush on Stevie Nicks, like... I'm here. I'll admit it. Like, I'm just like Lindsey Buckingham. I know she was strung out on coke. I know, like, y'all were having some serious issues. But, like, you gave her up.
No.
And, like, that's what she's saying is, like, you were just playing around. Like, you're messed up in the head and you don't realize what you're missing out on.
Yeah, and you only want me when it's convenient for you. You know, like, you only want me on your terms. And
thunder only happens when it's raining.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like... I don't know. I just love, like, the sarcasm, too, in it. Like, you say, like, at the very first line, you say, well, now here you go again. You say you want your freedom. Well, who am I to keep you down? Like, I can just hear, like, the edge to that, you know? Like, everyone's been in an argument before where you're just like, yeah, well, who am I to, like, stop you, you know? And, like, I think this song is so eloquent, so well written, just beautiful, like, imagery and stuff, like, something that everyone can relate to. But it's just, like, beautiful. I don't know. This is one of my favorite songs on the album, for sure.
Yeah, no. Well, and I think, too, like, even as tumultuous and kind of unpredictable their lives were at this point, I think this says something, and I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy in this respect, I suppose, but I think people want stability in relationships. Like, it's not just, oh, whenever you feel like it kind of a thing, because that's not healthy. Like, I think we can all agree that's not healthy. And so even for Stevie Nicks to say that, it's, I think that's pretty insightful with human nature. Like, we want stability, especially when it comes to our relationships with those we love. So, yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. And I just wonder, like, if Stevie Nicks ever felt like she, like, won the contest of, like, the singles.
Yeah.
You know, like, the
My
the,
breakup song,
yeah, it's like,
did better.
Yeah, well, my breakup song had more commercial success than yours did. Like,
so I am justified. I am the one who was wrong in this relationship.
Yeah, I know. I just...
So track three is Never Going Back Again. It's more instrumental. Like, it has lyrics, but there's not as many. It's kind of different because it's acoustic sounds as opposed to the electric guitar sounds. Thoughts on this one?
I don't know. So I actually don't like this song too
much.
Who wrote
this one? I'm going to look it. Keep talking. I'll look it up.
It was Buckingham.
Okay, it was Buckingham.
And he did the lyrics as well. I don't, and this is just me. I don't really like songs that I don't want to say, because I mean the lyrics have meaning and stuff, but it's like a 2 minute song, but there's only like 10 lines of lyrics.
Yeah, this,
like,
song has the least lyrics out of all of the songs on the album.
So
it does have some good like guitar on there though.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some good like instrumentation on there.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, as far as, like, all the other songs go, I think they're, like, especially because, and I feel bad for this song for this reason, because there are so many just bangers on this album, just so many hits, and, you know, this one, I feel like.
In the words of Tom Haverford, it is not a banger. If it has acoustic music, it is not a banger.
A banger.
No, one thing I do like is, I'm going to do the... the you know, the
oh yeah. I do like that. Yeah,
yeah, you know, just enjoyed my falsetto little guitar there. But it is a good part of the album. Really beautiful instrumentation if it lacks any lyrics. Track four is Don't Stop. This was the campaign theme for the 1992 campaign to elect Bill Clinton. And it's in fact this song that in 1993 at the inauguration of Bill Clinton that they got back together to play. So, and they were like, oh yeah, we actually kind of missed playing together. So, fun little tidbit of history. It's a good song though, all on its own.
Bill Clinton brought back Fleetwood Mac.
Bill Clinton brought back
Fleetwood
Mac. Oh, this
is funny. It even says, at his inauguration in 1993, the band's Rumors era lineup reunited on stage for the first time in more than a decade to play the song. That is so funny. I had no idea.
I feel like that's like the ultimate defense for Democrats.
I mean, honestly,
like,
yeah.
Bill Clinton may have been unfaithful to his wife. Bill Clinton may have proposed policies that you disagree with, but Bill Clinton brought Fleetwood Mac back together.
He literally reunited a band. That's like, he brought the band back together.
No, little known historical fact. That was actually the Democrats' impeachment defense.
Like, they sat down with the Republicans and said, you really want to go after the guy
who
brought back Fleetwood Mac?
Who resurrected Fleetwood
Lindsey
Mac.
Lindsey Graham's just there.
And not just Fleetwood Mac, the original Rumors era lineup. Just Fleetwood Mac at its peak.
Just the Republicans, like, Neil Gorsuch and so it's like, you win this round.
Well, and I think it's funny, too, that all of the songs so far have been written by, like, different members of the band.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this song is by Christine McVie,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And so, I don't know, we're getting to see a little bit of everybody here, which I think is great. Like, when we get to this song, I'll mention this fun fact about it, so I'm not going to spoil it. But it's just interesting that, you know, all of the songs maintain, like, the independence of, like, the only people who write it. You know, like, take the Beatles, for example. Almost everything is, like, Lennon McCartney with, like, the occasional, like, Harrison thrown in the mix.
And
but,
then the one Ringo Starr.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, with Fleetwood Mac, it's always, you know, like, Stevie Nicks or Lindsey Buckingham or Buckingham Nicks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I like that.
So this is actually my favorite song on Rumors, and I just love it because it's I feel like it's really positive. Maybe there's something I don't see
totally
within the lyrics,
it's
but it's like, don't stop thinking about tomorrow, don't stop dreaming about today. I don't remember.
Yeah, and I think it has like a really like it's got a good like sound, like a good dancey like ding.
Yeah.
It's just really groovy.
And it's like one of the few optimistic songs on the album.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the rest are all like, you ruined my heart. And then this one's like, don't give up.
Yeah.
Like, don't stop. There's always tomorrow.
It will be better than before. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone.
Yeah.
So I really love poetry. And I really love Robert Frost. Like, two words divide in the two road less traveled.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of has the same message, like you live with your decisions and you just move forward. And I love it. And it's also super catchy and makes me happy.
Yeah, it's a
so,
great song.
It's a pick me up for like the sadness of the last three. Not sadness, but like the
Well, and I think it's very uplifting because like it's Christine McVie talking about how like she wants to reunite with like John wants to reunite with John and like make music again because she's like, hey, we make really great music together, and like that's what the song is about. She's like, we gotta look into the future and like be positive, like it'll be better tomorrow, like it'll be fine, you know. And I dig that. I feel like Fleetwood Mac, when they were like compiling like the track listings, were probably like, okay, we gotta throw a good one in here somewhere, folks. No, not really, but
all right.
So track five is Go Your Own Way. I love the guitar in this, like the riffs in it. You know what I'm talking about. Thoughts about this one.
This song is honestly the song that in the movie about my life is going to be playing in the background when I'm like on a road trip or something and like, you know, things are like passing me by in the window.
As your
like,
life is
as
changing.
As my life is changing when I'm in a transitionary period. That is this song for me. Like, I just have, like, a very strong connection to this song. I want to say it's probably my favorite on the album. It's the first single, and so I know it's kind of just like, oh, this one's your favorite song on the album. But, like, I don't know. It's so hard to pick a favorite. I'm probably going to say that about, like, three more songs.
They're, like, all bangers, except for Never Going Back Again, apparently.
Poor Never Going Back Again. But, yeah, I just, I love this song. I love the harmonies, like, on a more technical level. I love, like, the harmonies of the song. And I just, yeah, I just think
it's also
in
Forrest Gump.
It is.
Yeah. It
is? And that's my favorite movie.
In the running montage. It's like the last like song right before he's like, I'm gonna go home.
I'm gonna go home now.
It's like,
I didn't know that.
Interesting. So
I think it's like that's the thing, is like each one of these songs is a breakup song and it'd be easy for these to become repetitive. But this one's even in its own way different. It's like, who wrote this one? I forget who wrote this one.
This one was Buckingham.
Buckingham was basically saying, I want to love you. I want to be with you, but you don't, like, you want to go your own way. And it's essentially, it's saying, look, I have to let you do that.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, all these are different breakup songs, even though there's only like, okay, there's actually a lot of relationships going on here. But you get the point, is that they're not just the same song over and over again, lyrically and thematically.
And I think it does, and I think when you compare this song, Go Your Own Way, to Nix's Dreams, it's really, like, it, I think, is a cool, like, case study in relationships a little bit, because you get to see, like, both sides of how, like, they're viewing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nix is saying, like, basically, like, you're a player, like, you're bad for, like, losing me, you know? And, like, he is saying, like, I need to just let you go because obviously you want to, like, mess around and do all this other, like, stuff with all these other people. And, like, I just think that's so interesting, just to see, like, the two different, like, sides of the relationship coin there. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a good one. It's
it's a banger.
I feel bad that, like, every song we've said, we're just like, it's a good one.
Well,
it's
really
a
just, like, speaks to, like, how iconic this album is. Like, you really can't, like, go, you can't, there are very few songs on this album that don't have, like, a lot of significance and don't have a lot of, like, you know, meaning for people and a lot of meaning for, like, the band. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, so, and I don't know if other people feel the same way. When I remember listening to the two Rumors, I don't know, back when I was, like, 11 or something like that. And even back then, I remember, like, oh, yeah, this is a great, like, I just love listening to it. And I, even back then, I never thought, oh, yeah, this is about breakups and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, musically, it just sounds good. And it makes you feel good. So,
yeah. Okay, sixth song on the track is Songbird. Kind of not underappreciated, but under-recognized one. It's not, you don't usually get amped up to this one. You don't, yeah, it's a little more soft, laid back by Christine McVie. This is her first one, right, on the album? No.
No, she writes Don't Stop, but.
Right, she wrote Don't Stop. This is, Songbird is her other one, the next one, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
A little more laid back, like, just thinking about.
It's very, like, a lullaby vibes, and I like that a lot. This song, actually, the first time I ever heard this song, it was a cover. There's a band,
really?
Yeah, there's a band called The Staves that does out of England. You should definitely check them out. That have a cover of this song that is gorgeous. And I, like, looked it up, and I was like, Songbird by The Staves, and, like, nothing was coming up. And then someone was like, Songbird, that's by Fleetwood Mac, and I felt so stupid. So that's that story. But, yeah, I think it's just a beautiful song. Christine McVie really has a knack for just writing, like, very, like, beautiful songs, very, like, simple yet eloquent lyrics, and I think this is a great example of that.
Yeah. It's very relaxing. It is a lullaby. I like that terming.
Yeah.
So now we're going to the seventh track, which is my favorite, The Chain. This is the only one that they wrote all together, right?
Yes, this is the only Fleetwood Mac song in their entire, like, band history that has a writing credit from each member of the band, which I think is, like, so interesting, and I love that. And this song, honestly, it just slaps. Like, there's no other, like, term for it. Like, it is just, like, I listen to this song, and I'm like, it's an anthem.
Yeah.
It's an anthem. I love it.
It is an anthem. One reason I love this song is because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, about how, you know, in that movie, they're kind of spreading apart as a team, but the chains that bind them, and, like, there's this great part where Star-Lord just, like, looks up, and the music starts playing. It's a great scene, but This music, even without that movie, is amazing, and it is an anthem. I love this song, especially the bass part. You have the main part of the song, and then it gets really quiet. And then John McVie just comes in on that and then you have Fleetwood Mac in the background just like building up the drums. And then there's like the sick guitar solo, and it's just, it's a banger. Like this one is an amazing song because of the lyrics that it's talking about, the context of the band, the music behind it. It is an amazing song.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. It is honestly, I feel very confident in saying it is one of the best songs ever written. It's one of the best songs to come out of, like, the 70s. It is, I have never heard another song like it. Like, it is just dynamic and, like, powerful, and everyone, like, I think this is, like, a really incredible example of seeing a band just come together. Like, mm-hmm. they just really just came together and, like, made a thing as a group, and like there are elements of all of them in there, and it is just beautiful. Like, it's bomb. It's so bomb.
It is good.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you say that, like, they're all coming together, because the actual, like, basis for the song, it's like five different songs,
yeah,
that they couldn't get to work. Mm-hmm. And then they just like, let's just combine them all.
Oh,
and you know, make a and if you take, I was just curious, like, I was looking at, like, Fleetwood Mac songs throughout media, throughout TVs and movies. This is the number one song in terms of is placed within TVs and movies, just from like my quick look. But
because of its anthem qualities,
yeah.
Like, and it's weird because by no means is it a, I wouldn't even call it like a theme song or anything. It's just, it's the chain. It.
Yeah, and I think it's just like, man, I don't even have words. And it's so funny because, like, there's this YouTube video. It's a very, like, popular, like, one for Fleetwood Mac fans. But this video is called How Fleetwood Mac, like, Wrote the Chain, or How Fleetwood Mac Writes a Song or something. And the song that they use is The Chain. And this dude pretty much breaks down the song and does, like, a 10-minute video about, like, how it all, like, was written and how it all came together. And it's just such a cool story because, like Dylan said, you know, it's just separate songs that just, like, found their way together. But it's almost like that just had to happen that way. Like, they just had to have those, like, separate songs, and then they just came together, and it just, like, worked out. Because that song,
which
is
what,
like,
the album
really,
is.
Yeah.
Is these different songs that come together. But then there's this other song within that that are other songs that, yeah.
And I love that they put this song, like, pretty much right in the middle of the album.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, well, the first track of the second song,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that is, like, you know, the obvious choice, like, the obvious song that, like, the second side starts out with, especially because, like, the second side of this album, like, I don't want to say that it's, like,
bad,
but I think it's, like, the weaker side,
mm-hmm.
of the album. There are, like, great songs on there, you know, like, Gold Dust Woman, like, Silver Springs is great, I love that song, like, there are really good ones, but I think, like, just kicking it off with The Chain, it's a hard act to follow. Like, it really is.
And maybe that's part of why
the
second side feels
weaker. Yeah.
Weaker, yeah.
I almost wonder if they would have, like, rearranged that differently.
Looking back,
that, like, those other, you know, five songs would stand out a little bit more, but I don't know.
All I was going to say is, like, I really love I Don't Want to Know, and, yeah.
I Don't Want to Know is a good one.
But
that's the other thing. They're not bad. They're just, I just don't feel like they own up to The Chain.
Yeah, they're just not as, well, it's like, it's hard to
follow that.
Absolutely.
All right, so speaking of that, track 8, You Make Love and Fun. This one, honestly, is one I always kind of forget about. That sounds awful. Not that it's bad, it's just like, oh yeah, they're, yeah.
This is going to literally make me feel like a horrible person, but I feel like your podcast listeners deserve my honesty right now. I skip this song almost every time because, like, the Chain has just played, and it's like, I either want to listen to that again
or I need,
like,
to go to I Don't Want to Know.
Or move on to, yeah, I Don't Want to Know. And
yeah.
It's like, You Make Love and Fun is, like, fine. I really have, like, no problems with it. I am just, like, so tragically neutral towards this
song.
And
I'm also
really
neutral.
Like, that's just really the vibe. And it's just, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Christine. Like, you don't deserve that.
Well, yeah. All
So, yeah. The next song. I Don't Want to Know. This is a great song. Yeah.
The reasons why I love you.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We should start a band.
We really should.
Who wrote this one? I can't. Is this...
this was Nix.
Stevie Nicks. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. You got me rocking and a reeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of that, again, that upbeat, more of a bouncy. Yeah, that's what I'd describe as, like, Don't Stop in This are very bouncy songs, like, yeah.
Yeah, I like this song a lot. It's just, you know, another Stevie Nicks song about, like, Lindsey Buckingham, which I think is great, you know? I don't know a lot of facts about this one or anything.
And you don't want to know.
Oh, snap. Ayo. Roll credits. But yeah, I think that this is just a really good song. It's fun, dancey, upbeat. I like the harmonies as well.
Yeah. I really like the verse one. It says, "Finally, baby, the truth has come down now. Take a listen to your spirit. It's crying out loud, trying to believe. Oh, you say you love me, but you don't. You got me rocking on the reeling. Oh, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, but just kind of just tying into that Dreams vibe.
Yeah.
Not the vibe, but like the lyrics and like, you know you love me, but you're just too wild to admit it. So, All right.
Track 10 is Oh Daddy.
This is so sad.
Yeah.
This is a sad song. This is another Christine McVie banger.
In the sense of, like, it makes you sad. Like,
yeah,
a sad banger.
It's a sad banger, for sure. And I think her voice is absolutely beautiful in this song. And I really do like this song.
Christine McVie has a very different voice.
So unique.
Yes.
So unique.
Stevie Nicks is unique in its own way,
yeah.
But, like, hers,
very deep.
Yes,
like
Stevie Nicks has a unique, beautiful voice, but I argue Christine McVie's is more unique.
Hmm.
Not
totally.
I don't know if I'd go as far as to say it's the same. But like, I still think
Stevie Nicks has like the superstar quality,
mm-hmm.
like voice.
But Christine
McVie
has the
has
artist.
Like a very unique,
yeah.
Yes.
Sounding voice.
Yep.
I love it.
Gold Dust Woman. Gold Dust Woman. We've kind of sped through these last ones, but like we said,
okay.
They're a hard act to follow. But Gold Dust Woman, I love Gold Dust Woman. I don't even know lyrically, it's just musically it's beautiful. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that this song is like, this is like a love letter, not a love letter, but it's like a song that I think Stevie Nicks wrote to herself, like talking about herself, you know, she's talking about like, love and loss and also like drugs and like dealing with all of that at the same time. Like, I think it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, I think a good, it paints a picture of Stevie Nicks. I think like people have like called her like the Gold Dust Woman, like in like over her career or whatever. And I think it just is like an interesting, like, I really like this song. It was the final track. Like, this was
the
like
original,
the last
yeah.
song on the album in the original version, because Silver Springs wasn't originally on there. Is a shame because I love that song.
Well, they put it on like Tusker. Was it Tusker they put it on?
Yeah.
Or what did they put it on?
Yeah, it was on like something. I would have to check. I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, so this was like originally where they ended off the album. So it's interesting to like see, you know, in the original version, like this is where the album would have ended. And so it, you know, begs the question. It's like, was this a good song to like end the album on, like, or,
well, especially the chorus, how it ends is with, well, did she make you cry, make you break down, shatter your illusions of love, and is it over now, do you know how to pick up the piece, you go home, like, she, you know, she comes with a pale shadow of a woman, black widow, pale shadow of a dragon, dust woman,
mm-hmm.
Like, that's after, but like the main part of the song, the chorus, that's it, like, that was the end of the album. Like, I don't know. It's an interesting way to end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
So do we want to talk about Silver Springs? Do we include it? I think we do.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we include it.
Okay,
yeah.
Silver Springs lyrics, the last song on the album.
Yeah, I love this song. It is, I think this is probably like top three songs in the album for me. I really like this one. I think it's beautiful. I love, like, it just is so poetic in like its in its writing. And
well,
I
mean, going back to the question, it's like, well, would Gold Dust Woman like a good place to end? And it's like, if they had the room, I would say this would be been a much better song to end on. Because it's basically like, well, you'll always be my Silver Spring, like, even though you're gone, like, you're still with me, I guess.
And I love this song because it builds. This song, like, starts out really quiet, like, very, like, you know, lullaby, you could be my Silver Spring. But then at the end, it's just like...
It's like there's this part where, dun, 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 I cast a spell on
it's
you.
Like, it's like if this was a concert, like, it starts out really quiet. You know, everyone's got, like, their lighters out or their phones or whatever. I guess it'd be phones now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, by the end, everyone is singing along. And
rock,
I can imagine Stevie
Nicks
just being like, all right, everybody, sing it with me. And she holds the mic out, and everyone's like, time
cast
a
spell on
you. You know, it's just like an anthem. And I think it's, like, a really good, like, I don't know. I think this album, like, if it was just, like, if they just got together and played it live top to bottom, I think it would just be, like, awesome. Like, a very dynamic concert. Like, you'd feel satisfied. You'd be like, I got the slow songs I wanted. I got the jumpy ones that I wanted. Like, yeah.
So, some other songs that I really like from Fleetwood Mac outside of this are Gypsy, Rhiannon. Those are probably two of the big ones. What other ones do you guys like?
Monday Morning. Yeah, from, so it's from the Fleetwood Mac, the 1975. I think it's their most underrated song.
Okay.
But originally meant for the Buckingham Nicks album. But
really?
But didn't make it on it. So, they're just like, oh, we can throw it on this. So, I really enjoy it. I guess I just kind of like happy songs because it's another upbeat kind of happy song. So.
I love that.
Allison, some other favorites of yours?
Okay, so one of my favorite Fleetwood Mac songs is from before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham even joined. This is off their Mr. Wonderful album. And
it's the second album.
This is their second album, yeah. And this song is called Love That Burns. OMG. You guys, this song is so good. I really like the blues. I'm a huge, like, sucker for the blues. And, like, this song is so bluesy and just, like, I just, like, love it. Also, this is another song that people, like, don't really love that much, but, like, Tusk, the song Tusk.
From the album Tusk.
That song kind of bumps. Like, I really like the, I like the drum beat to it, even though I know it's about Mick Fleetwood just, like, being full of himself or whatever. Little Lies. I love that song. Stevie Nicks that's just another Stevie Nicks hit, just classic breakup album. They have so many good songs. It's like, it's just so, like, I don't know. It's so hard to just, like, pick the best ones.
With that, you know, so many great hits.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the context, like, in the context of 70s and 80s bands, where does Fleetwood Mac lie? I'd argue it's one of the greatest, but I also would say that in its own way, Fleetwood Mac is in its own category. And I don't necessarily mean, like, above the rest, but, like, I just can't ever bring myself to compare Fleetwood Mac to the Eagles or Fleetwood Mac to Michael Jackson or Fleetwood Mac to Led Zeppelin. They are just in a category of themselves. Like, does that make sense? Like, their music is so different for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think with Fleetwood Mac, like, something that stands out too is, like, they're still kind of together, like, for the most part. Like, they're still a functioning, like, band in some ways, and I think that, like, you know, the fact that, like, they've been able to maintain that is pretty impressive, and all their members are still alive, and, like, you know, all that stuff.
Well, the rumors are, but
rumors are.
I think it's interesting is, like, this idea that bands become legendary. The Beatles are legendary.
Yeah.
But, like, the Beatles became legendary for a very different reason, in my opinion, than did Fleetwood Mac. The Beatles became legendary because they break up. They never had any kind of reunion concert, right? They never did that. And then John Lennon gets killed. So it kind of falls into this this legend of mystic. Whereas Fleetwood Mac is a legend in my mind because of the power of rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have gone back together. They have done stuff since. So they don't have that, like, mystic, almost like they were angels from above, whatever, like, whatever people ascribe to the Beatles. Whereas Fleetwood Mac is a legendary band because of rumors and because of their songwriting ability.
Yeah.
Not to say that the Beatles don't have that, but I think that a lot of their legend comes from John Lennon dying and them never getting back together, in a sense.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, with Fleetwood Mac, I don't want to call them a hippie band, but that's, like, the closest thing I can describe them to, is they're kind of just this hippie band that broke into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Like, there's really not another band from the 70s that had even remotely a similar sound and broke into the mainstream.
Yeah, and I think, like, for a lot of people, like, of our generation and younger, or maybe, like, a little bit older, who, like, didn't come from, you know, the Fleetwood Mac generation,
mm-hmm.
here, like, Fleetwood Mac is kind of, like, I don't want to say, like, a gatekeeper, but, like, kind of. I feel like you run into Fleetwood Mac before you, at least in my case, you know, I'm very into, like, old music, and I think that, like, Fleetwood Mac was one of the first bands that
mm-hmm.
I heard when I was,
mm-hmm.
like, seeking out older music. Like, you always hear those songs first, and I think it's because it's, like, these songs are genuinely a portrait of the time, and aside from that, like, when you get a little bit older to, like, understand the lyrics and the thing, and, like, the context and the stories behind it, it becomes relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know...
Even if you've never been strung out on a crack and been in a rock band, like, the emotions there,
yeah,
you can relate
exactly,
to that to an extent.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
like, because everyone, like, has experienced heartbreak or, like,
but
what
even as a
you.
Kid, you can enjoy the music, and then as you get older, you, like, dive into, like, this more rich lyrical view of it, and, like, it, yeah, I agree
yeah,
that
it
becomes,
it
grows on you, and it grows in with you, yeah.
It appeals to so many. I think, like, it just, the audience, the Rumors album in particular attracts, because, like, I will not, like, I don't think that all of Fleetwood Mac's discography appeals to everyone.
No.
Mm-hmm, no.
Like, I think there's a lot of things that, like, people hear, because they have a broad discography. They have a lot of music that they put out. And
they have, like, 20 albums.
Something like that.
Like,
a lot. Like, 10 plus at least. And, you know, there's obviously stuff that has not gotten as, like, successful as Rumors has.
Yeah.
And so I think...
Yeah.
Yeah,
so kind of just a couple of facts about Rumors itself. So in 2008, the National Recording, it was selected to be preserved in the National Recording Registry by the Library of Congress for its cultural, historical, and artistic significance. So that's something that doesn't happen every day to an album. It won the 1978 Grammy Award for Album of the Year.
Yep.
And from 1978 to 1998, it sold over 2 million copies. And then from 1998 to 2017, it sold over another 2 million copies. So overall, over 40 million copies. And
4 million.
Four, oh, yeah. Four, yeah. Four,
but
four,
still.
No, 40 million.
Is it 2 and 2?
Oh, I meant 20 million.
20 million.
Oh,
okay.
20 million. 20 million from 1978, and then
another...
And
20 million, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's a ton. Like,
that's so many.
So, okay, I think we all kind of said before, but favorite Fleetwood Mac songs, Mine's the Chain, Dylan, what's yours?
Don't Stop.
And Allison.
Oh my gosh, this is literally such a hard question for me. I can't... I really think I'm going to say Silver Springs.
Silver Springs.
That song's like... That song is... There have been many a day where I've just, like, wept in my car.
To Silver Springs.
And, like, and rare is the song that can do that for me.
Great. That's awesome. Awesome, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us. This has literally been a pleasure. We've enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much.
Again, to our listeners, FM 92.3, Tuesday at 6 o'clock for the Flower,
oh, yes, the Flower Power
Music
Hour.
Yes.
Great
time, great listen. Next week, Dylan and I discuss this with our other co-host, Carter. Next week, we'll be discussing dystopian literature. So books like 1984, Fahrenheit 451.
Anthem.
The Hunger Games, all sorts of different dystopian literature. We will be here next time. We may get the episode 4 out a little late because of Thanksgiving break, but we will have it out to you soon. Allison, thank you again.
Oh, thank you for
thanks for everybody for listening to the backup CD. We're out.
Goodbye.
Bye.